All righty. Good. You know, I'm glad I get a chance once in a while to get up here and say a few words. And, you know, when you're going to do this, I don't know how Calvin does it, and I'm pretty sure the same way I do. You pray about it, and you wonder, what do I need to say? What is the subject that we need to have today? What's something that will help you and help myself? And I come up with, as I was reading, I come up with James here. I was reading in James, and it dawned on me, wisdom, how important it really is, and we're going to talk about that a little bit this morning. James starts out here in 3:13 through 16, and I'm just going to read the first line here, where he says, "Who is wise and understanding among you?" Now remember, James is talking to the church. It'd be like me saying to you guys, "Who are you? Are wise and understanding?" That's a big question. It really is, if you really stop and think about it. Do you feel like you're wise? I like to think I am, but sometimes I can get pretty not so wise. But it's good for us to be challenged sometime, I think, because we forget who we are. I really do. I think we get so busy out here everyday life, and we forget we as Christians who we really are. Anyway, I'm going to read on. It says, "Let him show it. If you're wise, let him show it by good conduct, that his works are done in meekness and wisdom." Works. That means that's something we need to do, right? Our works that we do should be done in meekness and in wisdom of God. But then there's the other side of the coin here, though. It says, "But if you have bitter envy, self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom," listen this close, "this wisdom does not descend from above." This bitterness, this envy, this self-seeking, you know, self-seeking is easy, meaning I want it my way. I'm going to do it my way. But he says here that it's not a good thing. We have to be careful. It says this wisdom does not descend from above, but it's earthly, natural, watch this, demonic. "For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing is there." Think about that a minute. Self-seeking, my will, causes confusion. It's demonic. I mean, look, that's the other side of the coin of wisdom. The other side of the coin. And every evil thing is there. This earthly wisdom, listen close to this, this earthly wisdom that we're talking about was all of us before we were saved. Do you know that? He said, no, wait a minute. That's not true. Yes, it is. Ephesians 2 and 3 says, "In which you," and Paul here is talking to the church at Ephesus, he said, "in which you once walked," talking to the Christians, "according to the course of" what? "This world." See, this world is not walking in the wisdom of God. An unsaved person is not walking in the will of God. "And according to the prince of the power of the air." See, wait a minute, back up here a minute. "To the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air." Well, who is that? Satan. Do you know the world is under the power of Satan? Do you know that we were at one point in time of our life, that the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience? among whom also we, talking about us, we once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And we're by nature children of wrath, just as others. Right here is where the devil works. Told y'all that last time I was up here, right here in the mind. The thinking of the world, the way of the world, is demonic. And we ourselves were there at one point in time, before we knew Christ. Because in 1 John, I didn't put this in there in your copy, but it's in 1 John, says it this way, the whole world lies under the sway or the power of the devil. And we think, well, wait a minute. My grandma or my grandpa or my dad, they not Christian, but you telling me that they living for the devil? No, I'm not telling you that. God is. It's hard for us to comprehend that. It's no wonder the world's in the mess it's in. It's under the sway and the power of Satan. And that's a pretty big revelation. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 1:20, where is the wise? Paul asked that question just like John. He asked the church, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolishness the wisdom of this world? God don't think like the world does, like we do. When we lived in that world, we just don't think like he does. Man doesn't. He's thinking like the world that's around him. I've already said it this way. We live in a pig pen. And if you live in a pig pen, it won't be long before you're going to start acting like a pig. Because that's just the way it is. That's the surroundings that we're living in the world. Only true way that we can get God's wisdom is when the Holy Spirit reveals to us the wisdom of God. How does he do that? Well, James says that we can pray for wisdom if we don't doubt. But not just prayer. Wisdom found right here in this book. Other than that, you're going to have a hard time finding God's wisdom, I believe. 1 Corinthians says that these things we also speak. He was talking about the gospel. These things we also speak. It's a little deeper than that because he's talking about the deep things of God. Not in words which man's wisdom teaches. Then say man can't teach us nothing. He can't teach God, man nothing about God. But which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with the spiritual. But the natural man, that's the unsaved man, does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Now, I believe the gospel is simple. God didn't make it to where the unsaved man can't understand it. But he's talking about the deeper things of God. If you don't have the Holy Spirit in your life, you'll never get into the deeper things of God. You can't. Because it takes the Holy Spirit and the Word of God and prayer to, if you really want to find the deep things of God, we find it through putting an effort in it, putting our will into His will, and we'll find the wisdom of God. Otherwise, we won't. You know, when we are baptized into Christ, we take on what's called the divine nature. Remember that. We'll say more about it in a minute. But even that we have the divine nature, we're going to see that we've got to exercise that effort. That's why he said work is involved, okay? Here's what Paul was coming to with this Corinthian church. Y'all know the Corinthian church. It had all kind of problems, didn't it? In 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through 3, Paul says, "And I, brethren," now remember, he's talking to the church, "I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as to carnal. As to babies in Christ, I fed you with milk, not solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. And even now," he said, "you're still not able, for you're still carnal." This church was about 35 years old, 30, 35 years old when he wrote this book, this letter. And they still were struggling as babies. They just couldn't get above the world. They couldn't get above the thinking of the world. They couldn't get their spiritual life to be what it should, because they just couldn't get past this world. And they were struggling. They was having divisions, problems of all kinds. And Paul was confronted them because they weren't doing what he would like to have seen. They were still living in the wisdom of the world. It went on to say in verse 3, "For where there are envy," and this is why, this is what was going on, "where there were envy, where was envy, strife, divisions among you, are you not carnal, behaving like mere men?" You're behaving like the world. These people hadn't changed anything in their life, and they were living their life still as if they were not Christians. But we got to remember, they still had the Holy Spirit in their life. They wouldn't let him have his way. See, we should be showing the world what a Christian is, how a Christian lives, how we act should be some difference than that the world offers. But this church wasn't doing that. Paul was hurt. He was sad because of the outcome. And then Paul went on and wrote a second letter. It's believed that there were three, but we only have two. In this second letter, 2 Corinthians 12 here, 12:20, he said, "For I fear," he had a fear, he said, "I fear lest when I come, I shall not find you such as I wish." Paul was gone at the time, and he said, "I might come back, I'm going to try to come back by, but," he said, "when I come, I shall not find you such as you do not wish me to find you. Lest there be contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, backbiting, whispering, conceit, and turmoil." Man, he was getting down on them pretty good. Of their life, the way they were living. This certainly was not the wisdom of God. And see, Paul been working. They've been working with him. He was struggling. Why don't you grow? Why can't you get your mind out of the world into Christ to follow the Holy Spirit in your life so you can be a different person? See, God told us that when the Holy Spirit comes in our life, He wants to change this mind. To live a different way, to think a different way, to go a different direction. See, Paul was hoping to see some wisdom of repentance. That's what he was looking for out of this church. 2 Corinthians here, 12:21 says, least when I come again, because he said, I'm going to make an effort to come, that my God will humble me among you, and I shall mourn for many who have sinned before and have not repented of their uncleanness, the fornication, and lewdness that they have practiced. Now, these are the kind of messages we don't like to hear, but it's a challenge for us. Do we want the wisdom of God? And if we do, there's some things that's got to be laying down. We got to put them aside, and we got to make an effort to put forth and search for the wisdom. But you know what? We could have all the knowledge. Heard it said, all the knowledge from cover to cover. You can know this book from one side to the other. But you know what? It is worthless if we don't live it. Worthless. Because God said, look, you can know all about me. We can know all the right and wrongs about it and how to just see God this way, that. But you know what? We got to practice it and put it into our life. This is what Paul's talking about here. He's trying to get them to see. You guys got to step up a little bit. You know, Paul seemed to be a hard fellow, didn't he? But you know what? You know why he was this way? He wanted them to know when the Lord shows up one day, and he will, they'll be able to stand before him and be, I don't like the word proud, but to be, feel comfortable with standing before God Almighty because they put forth that effort to put it all into the life that God would have them live. That don't mean we're going to be perfect. But we need to ask ourselves, and I'm talking to us now, I was thinking about this the other night. I said, you know, have I been putting forth my best effort? And I can honestly say no. You might say, oh, well, you study a lot and you do a lot of things, and I try. But can we all not put forth a little more effort? You know, God's all about how much you love me. You know, Calvin mentioned this morning, of course, that's all y'all wasn't here, but a reasonable service, he said, and the Bible does say this in chapter 12. He said, a reasonable service is to present ourselves a living sacrifice to God. And I think that's a challenge to all of us to ask ourselves. And I'm not down on your case, I'm talking to me. You know, I'm thinking, what is my reasonable service for God? As a living sacrifice. We all struggle. We all do. It's just part of the life that we live in. We still have the mind of the flesh. And that really is our enemy, because it wants to go this direction. But on the other hand, we know we want to go this one, because if we want to follow the Spirit, but yep, we got, which way did I go here? One day I might go this way. Yeah, And that, oh, that's the wrong way. I need to go this way, yeah. And we find ourselves in this struggle, in this fight. And I know y'all felt it. We all been there. We all there. But God's merciful. He knows the fight. He's lived it. He's been here. And I thank God for him because, you know, I would rather fight, I would rather go through a battle, a war, with someone that has experienced it and been there than somebody that hadn't. So Jesus came and he lived this out. He knows exactly what we go through. He knows the fight of all fights. This is the kind of wisdom that God's looking for in us. That's what James was saying here, the kind of wisdom he's looking for when he was talking to the church. He said, James 3:17-18, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure. What does that mean, first pure? Then it's peaceable. Then gentle. Here's a hard one. Willing to yield. I don't like to yield. My fleshly part of me, I don't like to yield. But that's part of it. We have to give up some things. It also went on to say full of mercy and good fruits. Without partiality, without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace for those who make peace. We want wisdom. It's a high call. It's a high call. But this should be a practice that we desire in our life. We should. We should. Hopefully we practice in these things. I'll read this again because it's too important. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then it's peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace for those who make peace. The fear of the Lord is knowledge and his wisdom. I read it again. I'll just read the verse. And Proverbs 9:10-11 said, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. See, we fear God, then that's a sure beginning place. And the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For by me your days may be multiplied, and your years of life will be added to you. Growing into faith is not easy. Growing in the knowledge and wisdom of the Spirit is not easy. God never said it would be. Never said it would be. The Word is telling us, though, that we can accomplish and grow more if we want. Proverbs 1:7 says, fools despise the wisdom of God. We don't want to be a fool. We don't want to despise searching out for the wisdom of God. James says, therefore, to him who knows to do good and not do it, to him it is sin. It's more than just knowing, it's doing it. Many refuse to follow the wisdom of God. But I think, and I believe in my heart, what I know, I think all of you sitting here are searching for that. No, we haven't arrived. But this is just a challenge, and that's what Paul was trying to get this Corinthian church, and James was trying to get that church to understand. You got to keep pressing forward. You've got to keep pressing forward. And I thank you guys for the faithfulness that you have. Our desire should be, I'm going to do it. We don't give up. We keep the fight. Stay in the fight. Because when it gets right down to the bottom line of it all, we need each other. That's why we need each other to help us stay in that fight, to help us push us further along. And, you know, I can't say this enough. I just don't believe there's a Lone Ranger Christian, because once you drift away after alone, you're going to die. And we need to keep pushing forward in our walk. It's up to us. It's our choice. What we do with our faith. Y'all know that. It's about all I got to say right now. And hopefully, it's been a challenge to us, and we'll see where it goes.